Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
The biggest headline that came out over the past few days, Singapore taking a step back and going into phase two again from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. That is a very significant step back. Phase two, part two, rules on gatherings will be tightened starting tomorrow as Singapore takes stricter measures to stop the spread of COVID-19. In the wider community, and I just got a message from an SMS from SFA, the Singapore Food Authority, to remind us about the new measures that will kick in starting tomorrow, starting at midnight tonight, in fact.
Right. I mean, you do run a franchise restaurant, so and it's an F&B outlet, so that's probably most significant for people in your category, because people will only be allowed to gather in groups of five. That's down from the current number of eight.
That's true.
So that's going to apply to households as well. So if you're planning a party, you can only receive five distinct visitors, five unique visitors per
day. So of course, to help control and to help keep track of who you're in contact with
at
any given day.
Absolutely. More people also will be required to work from home. So no more than 50% of employees who are able to work from home should be in the office at any one time. And we were just celebrating a few weeks ago that that number went up to 75% were allowed to go back. You know, we're looking at people back in the office. Hey, I haven't seen you in a year. Oh, wow, your hair's so much longer. Yada, yada, yada. Sorry.
You've gained weight.
No, and I didn't say it at all. I'm very kind. But sorry, that's down back to 50%.
So the Education Minister, Lawrence Wong, who also co-chairs the multi-ministry task force tackling this pandemic, noted that the new restrictions will see Singapore move back to phase two of its reopening, stressing that this is not a circuit breaker.
Well, that's a huge headline that we're talking about this morning with Dr. Ashok Kurup, who is infectious disease expert at Mount Elizabeth Hospital. He also chairs the Academy of Medicine's chapter of infectious disease physicians. Doctor, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks a lot for taking the time. And hopefully by the end of this, everyone will have a better understanding why this is so important. So effectively, we're back in phase two from tomorrow. The latest slew of measures will be in effect from tomorrow to May the 30th to curb the community spread of COVID-19. New strains, of course, that have made their way into Singapore. As far as initial reaction is concerned, Doctor, did you feel that this was enough? Did you feel that it was done soon enough?
Well, it's very hard to say. With conviction, we always feel as if some things could be done a little bit earlier in retrospect, but it's very difficult to say real time. But I think that we have to keep up and keep pace with the virus and stay several thousand steps ahead of it. And we know enough already, having had to have this condition now for almost, a year plus now? And, you know, the virus has changed its play, its game. And we know a little bit more about it than we did before. And we know that it can change its genetic structure. So now we are dealing with variants and or variants which are potentially far more transmissible. You know, when you have areas of the world which are raging away with COVID, it's actually a fertile ground to kind of germinate these kinds of more, you know, like novel strains, because the virus wants to stay a step ahead. So that's kind of where humanity has lost out, because I guess as a global community, we have not been unified enough to kind of tackle the virus. We're a bit too busy fighting ourselves and whatnot and all. So the context is that when the virus gains the ground by becoming a little bit more infectious and so on, and there is also some evidence coming out from India that it could be potentially more virulent. So we have to stay several thousand steps ahead of it, but of course in a very calibrated and measured way, because, you know, we have a lot more in terms of capacity right now, in terms of testing, in terms of diagnostics and other measures, contact tracing and all. So I don't think we need to go back to a complete lockdown as yet. We can watch very carefully and see how things measure out and hope that, you know, our increased and enhanced measures will help us control this latest onslaught.
For one thing, Doctor, I think Singapore has been very good in being able to track the movement of the people here to be easily contain any spread of the virus if that happens in a bigger way. But let's focus on the Tan Tock Seng hospital cluster incident. How or why did this become so widespread within the hospital?
Well, to be honest, I think it would have been even more widespread were it not for the fact that we have a lot of the healthcare workers in Tan Tock Seng being vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So I think that the numbers that we are looking at is actually very much better if you were to think in a situation otherwise. So I think that they are still looking at this and trying to understand better. Maybe there were some things to do with ventilation in the said ward and so on. But I think that, these are also in the context of a strain which is very, very much more infectious. So when you have situations where people like us, we breach our infection control measures, we don't wear masks properly or we wear it inappropriately and so on, it's much more easy for a more transmissible strain to kind of cause, problems. So I think that it's multiplayer, several factors in together. So that's why I say we have to change our game and try to checkmate the virus. So we will stay tuned in that regard.
Doctor, as a point of clarification, I know you talked about this very briefly in your most recent answer, but I want to talk about variants, and probably in two parts, variants and this one that everyone's talking about, the variant from India. To clarify, right, the variants are more infectious. That means they're transmitted a lot more easily. That's correct versus the variants being more or a worse version of the virus, like would kill you faster. That's not true, right? It's only a case of it being more infectious and that's why it can spread faster.
Yeah, so we have reasonable evidence to know that, people are transmitting more. When they become sick, their viral burden is actually very, very high. Mm. So that is already, a manifestation of the ease of transmission. So data that's coming out of India also tells us that younger people are now falling sick and that, they are becoming ill, requiring oxygen, some of them being critically ill. And the doctors in India are also saying that their experiences are changing as they have been watching how the pandemic has been playing out in front of their eyes. I mean, these are clinical observations. There hasn't been any specific publication to attest to this in this regard. So we are just trying to understand better. But what we know is the infectiousness has certainly increased. The virulence part of it, we have to still understand the science, but the signals are that it's not looking so good, at least the clinical experience out of India.
So, Doctor, as from what we know today and what we can learn from the situation in Brazil and in India, how do you checkmate a virus then? Because you said we need to stay 1,000 steps ahead of the virus, but apart from getting vaccinated, is there another way to outsmart a virus which is still mutating?
Yeah, so very easy to say, but very, very difficult.
Very difficult to put in practice.
Yeah, because you need a unified whole, you need a lot of harmonized measures, and you need conviction and absolute determination from the community at large. And that's why we need to really have this kind of a clarion call to all of us to do whatever we can to try to improve hygiene measures, to reduce social interactions and be overall responsible. I mean, I think that, we have got a reasonable conviction in our measures right now. I don't think we need to really go out and double mask, for example. Some people ask those kinds of questions. Please, I would say, get the vaccine. Now, the vaccine, the data that has just been published out of Israel yesterday is looking very, very good in terms of how it can prevent severe illness and death. And this is the Pfizer vaccine that we are talking about. And Israel did encounter a variant. At that time of the study, they were encountering predominantly the UK variant.
Right. Okay?
Not enough of the South African variant to know with conviction. But then there is also a recent publication out of Qatar. And Qatar also had, an experience that was published. And they had both the South African as well as the UK variant And again, the data out of Pfizer's efficacy was extremely good in terms of reducing impact on healthcare requirements and severe illness and death. So I think that we have got both the data from published material, from clinical science, from the real world, to show we have to go out, get the vaccine. That's very, very important. Mm-hmm. And get that as soon as your turn, your time comes up. And don't forget that is extremely important. And I think that, no matter, even if there are some breakthrough infections, it doesn't matter because those individuals don't get so sick. And if it's at all, they could be asymptomatic or even very mild. Now, we can live with that. Maybe there'll be a booster shot, who knows, later on, or some other platforms. We have to discuss that at a later stage. But I think that, you know, vaccine, that's very important. And don't fatigue out of all the public
health. So, doctor, the vaccine, the more the population is vaccinated, the more we outsmart the virus. Is that a correct way of putting this?
Yes.
You're not fully protected, right? We will never be 100% protected from getting it.
Yeah.
But we will weaken the virus.
Right. We still have to learn more about the virus. Maybe we have to get a booster shot. Maybe we have to do some other things. But then, you know, as we do that, as we get more people, we don't want to have a huge toll on healthcare. We have people with other kinds of diseases and illnesses who also need care. And we cannot sideline them and forever cut our electives and so on and so forth. And how long can we close our borders? Singapore cannot survive like that. You know, we can't go into a situation, you know, maybe other countries can do that when they are larger and they are more self-sufficient, but not for Singapore.
Doctor, we are actually kind of out of time, but I want to squeeze in this last question and also to add in that, you know, at this time, it's not the time to shun healthcare workers. It's not the time to shun any of the frontliners. I mean, we all have a part to play. But bearing this in mind and bearing the fact that variants are more transmissible, more infectious, do you change your priority of vaccination? Do you provide, because not every frontliner has been vaccinated. There are some people who are frontliners, but not quite frontliners. Do you change the approach? Do you change the target age group? Do you have more mobile vaccination clinics, like the mobile dentist clinics from when we were in school? Is this something that needs to be looked into or considered?
I'm always in favor of a major vaccine rollout in as much as possible across the board. I think we have got the main frontliners taken care of. I think that if we see a change in the demographic of who is getting sick nowadays, we'll have to hone in and see what our experience is. And maybe it is the NSF, for example, and we have to go out and get all the NSF vaccinated pronto. So, and so we kind of have to look at what's happening. But because of vaccine resources, supply, and so on, I think that they had to go and prioritize the absolute risk groups and then move down the line. But then we always have to stay ahead of the curve and look and see what's really happening on the ground. And maybe, like you said, go into other groups who may be more at risk. And cleaners, for example, you know, seeming to be one of those.
All right, we've been speaking with Dr. Asar Kurup, who is infectious disease expert at Mount Elizabeth Hospital. He also chairs the Academy of Medicine's chapter of infectious disease physicians. Doctor, thank you for your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.